For Illinois Issues, I'm Daisy Contreras. Residents of two struggling public housing complexes in Cairo and far southern Illinois have been told they have to move out. That probably means they will have to go to areas outside the historic, predominantly African-American city. For this week's Illinois Issues in-depth piece, we interview Molly Parker, who reported on the situation. Can you talk about some of the problems that residents in these housing complexes are facing?
Walking around the complexes, it was certainly alarming, I think is the right word. The complexes have fallen into just extreme disrepair. First off, they're just very old. I mean, they were built in World War II era, 1941. So there's just a lot of age there, even in the best of circumstances, if they had been maintained. But clearly there has been some issues with whether the money was going to the maintenance of these buildings over the years, because they have issues with extreme infestation that even, you know, attempts to eradicate pests and mice and roaches haven't really worked, probably because the problem is just so extreme at this point. There's mold that some families, and including the family doctors that we've talked to, they can aggravate asthma conditions and lung conditions. There's inadequate plumbing. Residents complain of leaks from the second story, those that have two-story apartments in the second story bathroom down into the kitchen area. There's issues with whether the management was properly eradicating lead paint, because the buildings are so old. They were supposed to start doing that in more recent years as we become more aware of the risk of lead poisoning. Really just conditions that, you know, most of us wouldn't feel comfortable living in, let alone having our children grow up there and live in those conditions.
So what's going to end up happening to the residents that live in these housing complexes?
Well, in February of 2016, Housing and Urban Development, the federal housing agency that oversees these programs, placed the Alexander County Housing Authority into what they call administrative receivership, which essentially means that they booted all of the local board members and managers and came in, and the federal government is now running the housing authority, even though it continues to remain a local, an entity of local government. But the HUD officials are the ones now day-to-day managing those operations. There were residents complaining that despite HUD coming in and saying the conditions here weren't good, the mismanagement is what prompted them to come in there, according to HUD, that a year later, that they were still living in the same conditions. HUD had made some efforts to improve security. And so, you know, it got to a point where the newspaper and others and community leaders in the town were asking, all right, you know, HUD, at what point are you going to outline a plan forward? And a few months later, on April 10, they called residents together to a meeting and told them that they'd made a really difficult decision. And it was that the units are no longer safe. They needed to begin moving residents out, and that they would be issuing them vouchers and helping them relocate, but not rebuilding in Cairo. And that because of a shortage of housing in Cairo, most residents would, especially those with families, that they would make efforts to relocate them into other communities of their choosing.
And you were there for that April meeting.
We were there, yes. The Southern Illinoisan was the only media in the room.
And from that, how did residents react, and what do they think should be done about the situation?
I think that the announcement was shocking to a lot of people. At the meeting, a lot of people were upset. They cried, you know, they yelled, they asked for alternatives. They begged, they pleaded, you know, and HUD just sort of stuck to its guns and said, this is what we're going to do.
And I will listen to an exchange from that day between a resident and Director of Operations for Illinois Public Housing, Tawanda Macon, who delivered the news.
But our solution is to tell you to get the hell out, and your community is destroyed.
Yeah.
But that's what's going to happen.
So, I did not want to come in here and tell you that this was the outcome that we've gotten to. Do I want to see a community destroyed? No, I don't. But at this point, we don't have any other solution.
We're about four months removed from that very emotional meeting. And certainly some of the shock has worn off in town. You now hear people with conflicting opinions. Some families are actually expressing that they're eager to move, that they're excited about the opportunity to use their voucher. You know, and these vouchers are not readily available, so they're excited to be able to use their voucher to relocate their family into an area that may have more resources. And again, no one's speaking negatively about Carroll, but just because of the economic decline there that has happened for a variety of reasons, you know, they would like to be in an area where their child can go to gymnastics or have after school access to more after school programs. So that definitely exists. But there still are a pretty large number of families, and especially seniors, people who, for Carroll, that's all they've ever known, where the idea of moving to another community, even if it's, you know, just an hour away, is pretty overwhelming right now. And they're still hopeful that there will be new housing offered in Carroll, but that remains while there are efforts being made, that really truly remains a pretty uncertain prospect.
What makes the situation in Carroll different from those in other communities that have similar public housing conditions?
I'm going to answer that with two separate responses. And one is that in Carroll, the economic conditions are so extreme that HUD tells us that their new way of building homes is not in the old way they used to just allocate money. And we would, you know, if you're going to tear down as a country a certain number of housing units, we would agree that we're going to replace that number of housing units. A lot of times it was done strictly with federal HUD money. Because there are growing needs for public housing, repairs, renovations and affordable housing across the country, there was a decision made a number of years ago prior to this current administration that is, as I understand it, a policy and not a law, that the government would reach out to the private sector for the development of new affordable housing, and that these would be mixed income, mixed use, and scattered site development. And the idea being that we would begin as a country to break up the concentrations of poverty where we had, you know, through the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s even, we're building large-scale high-rises in the cities and even in small towns, you know, low-rises or concentrations of poverty through the affordable housing that would be in certain sections of town. A lot of this, frankly, was based in outdated, race-driven policies that we, you know, decided were not helpful for the residents, for our communities. But in Carroll, again, you know, attracting the private sector is really difficult. And because there's the economy there, like I said, has just gone so far south that this idea that you could have mixed income development is difficult because there's not enough people to support that in the, you know, middle income or just below middle income area. We're talking about people living in deep poverty in southern Illinois. On the flip side of that, you ask, what's the difference? I think we all know if we drive around some of our communities, and I really notice this particularly in some of our rural communities where we haven't dealt with this, that there is a brewing, you know, crisis, if you will, that even if there's not been mismanagement, that just for the age of the housing complexes and the fact that there hasn't been much investment in some of these rural communities, and it's more difficult for these rural communities, not just in Carroll, but even in communities that are maybe doing a little bit better, to attract that private development side of things. And so, you know, I think these are issues we're going to have to deal with. There's certainly no easy answers here. And that's, you know, that's no matter what you think of HUD's decision here or what should happen or what should have happened. When you look at the situation today, unfortunately, we've let things get to a point where there's just really no easy answers, that there's going to be heartache and pain no matter what in this situation.
And you also talked to Housing and Urban Development Secretary Ben Carson when he visited the city last month. What did he tell you?
I talked to HUD Secretary Carson twice, once before his visit on the phone about what he was coming here to see, and then once after he had toured the city with the mayor and spoken to some other community leaders, including the school superintendent and others. When I asked him what he was coming here to see in that initial phone call, he said he wanted to keep an open mind. He said, yes, he had called Carroll dying during a Senate hearing when they were discussing options, him and Senator Dick Durbin, who represents Illinois. And he said, yes, I called it dying, or he acknowledged that through his statements and said, but as a physician, as a neurosurgeon, sometimes I took on patients who others thought were too far gone to save, and through creative approaches, outside the box thinking, we were able to give people a second chance at life. And so I think he tried to put a positive spin on what he had said earlier And when I talked to him in Carroll, he had similar statements. He said, yes, there are obviously some real economic challenges here. You know, that doesn't mean that we throw up our hands and give up on Carroll. The problem is, it wasn't as though he also offered to change the direction that was earlier put forth by his staff. And in conversations with the staff afterward, they say, yes, he hopes that there is a future for Carroll, and we will do our part of, along with, you know, it has to also include the state, the county, the city, everyone pulling in the same direction to try to improve Carroll's economy so that there is a new day for Carroll. In the meantime, we're still encouraging families to move because we're moving into the winter and if we have boilers break, you know, we don't know what we're going to do. Yes, I suppose they could invest in new boilers, but there's a question of, you know, do you pay for extensive repairs on existing buildings that you're planning to tear down that are no longer safe when you're also trying to manage other developments within that same housing authority and keep the housing authority from going bankrupt? So again, really difficult questions here. He certainly offered hope, optimism. He said, you know, through the grace of God, maybe we can save this town. I don't know if residents are left with a clear picture as to what's going to happen. They have elected leaders at all levels telling them that what's happening to them isn't fair. And you probably can't find anyone anywhere who would say that what's happening is fair. They are most certainly paying for sins of the past. There's no question that people are paying for other people's mismanagement, misguided decisions, corruption, whatever it was. But then you also have to say, okay, as Dr. Carson put it, how do you balance compassion and common sense? Because now we have to deal with what we have right now. We can, and the newspaper will, continue to look in the rearview mirror from the sense of what went wrong, because there are lessons to be learned here for all of our rural communities and really any community. But at the same time, you also have to look at this from the standpoint of, what do you do now? We've acknowledged that this, we as a region, as a federal agency, as local officials have said, this isn't safe for families. So what do we do? And I think that's a really, really, really difficult question. And like I said, no one really has a perfect solution. And that's what makes this so heartbreaking.
For Illinois Issues, I'm Daisy Contreras. For more information, go to illinoisissues.org.